Well, the BizNews tribe has certainly been investing hand over fist into the 12B opportunity, so much so that our original partners, Geltech and Futureneers, are fully subscribed. You can't get into those funds anymore. Why has it been so successful? Why is it so exciting? Well, quite obviously, because the government was in a flat spin. They had to try and find a way of beating load shedding. And by bringing in the private sector with tax incentives, that's happened. Today, we're talking to Mitchell Fieldgate and Luelle Colwick. Mitchell's with Pangea Wealth. Luelle is with Decentral. It's a great partnership. On the one hand, you've got the asset manager. On the other hand, you've got the energy provider or the solar provider. And they've got an opportunity. So 12B is not dead just yet. Mitchell, it is interesting that this is a tax incentive which South Africa, and I know you know about this because you've been in this alternative investment field for a period of time. We had 12J, which was very successful, and then they closed it. It took a long time to get successful. Then it got successful as a tax incentive, and then they closed it. And then the Treasury got into, well, the whole country got into big trouble with the load shedding crisis. And here comes another version of 12J, even more, but very, very focused. So I guess the question is, how long do you think this 12B is going to last, given that we're not having load shedding at the moment and haven't had for some months?
Yeah, hi, Alec. Thanks. Great to be here. It's a great question. The 12J incentive and 12B incentive has been extremely successful. It just shows you the power of the private sector when you give them an inch and they make it a mile. So, I mean, just last year alone, this incentive was estimated from the National Treasury to have helped deploy 6,000 megawatts of solar, which is equivalent to three stages of load shedding. And it just shows you how wonderful it's been. SARS are giving these extremely high deductions on 125%, and a lot of 12B investments similar to ours do incorporate debt as part of it. So you get, you put in $100 and there's 80 Rand of debt and you get a 125% deduction on the 180 Rand, even though you've put in 100. So in the short term, I'd say SARS is losing, but it's important to note for investors that this isn't, they're not doing it out of the kindness of their hearts, this incentive. They've done the maths, actually very intelligent people at the National Treasury and SARS. Enoch Godongwana, when he announced the incentive, knew very well that if they get it right, the long-term benefits are going to be substantial. I mean, people have short-term memories, especially with the news cycle and everything today moving so quickly, but not even 2 years ago, it was stage six load shedding, 900 million rand a day being lost to stage six load shedding, businesses making less profit, which resulted in SARS, the receiver, collecting less revenue for them. And the economic downside was bad. The political downside was even worse because we saw, the common man doesn't really care too much about the ports not working or SAA or Petro SA or one of those things, but they do care about clean water. And they do care about the electricity, the lights being on. So, and we saw the fruit came to bear with the poor mismanagement of energy within South Africa, them just getting absolutely hammered in the polls with these recent elections. And who knows, if they did this incentive earlier, they maybe may have fixed the crisis earlier and they may have done better. So to answer your question, there have been talks, okay, are they going to extend it? Are they not? We don't think they are going to extend it. They've put tariffs on imports coming in, which shows that they are turning a bit against solar. So we do think this is the last year it's going to be available. And I think that's a big reason, one of the big reasons why we've seen guys have this urgency to get onto this tax incentive, because it is the last time it's going to be available.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a sale on. Get it while it's still there, because it's not going to last very long. And we do know that the ANC government, although now we have a government of national unity, or as Helen Zille calls it, a coalition. The ANC government does not like incentives, although this one's really, really worked for them. I'm interested in, Luelle, how you're in this field. You've been in this field for a decade and a half. How you and Mitchell found each other and are working together on this project.
So Mitchell's business partner, Jamie, actually is a good friend of the co-founder of Decentral, Christian Bode. So it's actually a personal connection. And we connected in February this year when we were doing Fund 1, 12B Fund 1, Decentral Green Energy. It's just been a fantastic relationship. It's grown from strength to strength. I think there's a really good cultural fit. I think there's a commitment to entrepreneurialism as well as highly ethical business. But more than that, I think we just have a good time. I think we have a lot of fun together as we go, and it's been successful so far.
And tell us a bit more about Decentral and how many projects you guys have been involved with and are involved in.
Sure. Decentral was founded in 2009. My business partner and I started the business when we were actually still studying. And we began with utility scale project development, developing a 5 megawatt hydropower project, actually, which was ultimately commercialized under the Renewable Energy IPP procurement program. And since then, we've moved from pure project development through to being a fully fledged, vertically integrated IPP. We currently own and operate 50 projects around the country, average size around about 0.5 megawatt. And our business spans everything from project development, engineering, procurement, construction. We have a very strong capital raising and investment division in the business, as well as a strong asset management team. Because of course, once you own these assets, you need them to perform in the long term. The team now is around about 30 people and growing rapidly. It's been an extremely busy last couple of years. We continue to grow. We're currently in the process of building right now. We've got 20 assets under construction. And before the end of February, there's going to be another 30 or 40 that are going to come through. We're very busy. And we pride ourselves in being able to focus on our customers and provide the commercial and technical solutions which ultimately serve the growth of our customers' businesses.
So Mitchell, clearly Luelle and his team have been around a long time. I presume that played a big part in your partnering together on this 12B project.
Yes, sir. I am a wealth manager by profession. So we've done a lot of these other 12Bs and placed clients into these various 12Bs. I did a lot of due diligence myself on many 12B investments last year. And we saw, what worked, what didn't work. And we tried to really elevate the things that did work and mitigate the risks that we saw in the 12Bs last year. So it's been phenomenal to partner up with Luelle and the team at Decentral. A lot of the major risks that we see in a 12B investment, and it's the same as a 12J investment, is that guys get blinded by the, the deer in headlights, by the tax incentive. You've got this big carrot being, wiggled in front of your face for the tax incentive, and people just get so excited, too excited, because we pay so much tax in this country, and any incentive we get, we're really keen on it. It's very important, however, when you do these tax-deductible investments is to look at it as an investment first with a tax benefit. Okay, it's not this magical tax solution that's going to solve all your problems. You do need the underlying asset to work. I mean, even the 12J space, a lot of them didn't work. 150 different 12Js got on the board. The ones that did work did very well. However, there were a lot of fly-by-night companies that did just pop up because of the incentive, and a lot of investors did get egg on their face because they got blinded by the tax incentive. So the same principle applies. I think to any investor looking at a 12B investment, you need to see the track record. You need to make sure, okay, listen, these people have been around. Decentral, if there was no 12B they would still be going around doing fine. The 12B is a benefit for them. It's not the whole reason for their existence. Okay, another risk that we saw was lack of understanding on the debt side, and especially on the legal agreements. So we do have, you know, big hitters, Weber Wenzel, helping us with all the legal and tax counsel. Another risk is that the investor would invest into projects or project, would lay solar on the roof of the different off-takers, and then the off-takers would purchase electricity from these panels. So that's all good and well, but now let's say I have a huge project that has 200 mil and the one off-taker happens to be Eskom. Well, we're in a bit of trouble if Eskom goes bust, or that area goes bust, or something happens. So a huge benefit with most investments, and there's no exception here, is the diversification. So Decentral have done extremely well in getting 44 projects lined up for this 12B investment fund. And that really gives the investors a lot of peace of mind, because if one or two of them go south or something goes wrong, well, you still got another 40 to carry the weight. Another risk here, Alec, is that the deduction and the deployment. So you have to deploy the solar this year to get the deduction. So if you deploy it on 1st of March, well, unfortunately, that's too late. Deploying means it's generating electricity. So you need to make sure that your counterparty, the guys you're investing with, have the capacity and the knowledge and the expertise to raise funds. Anyone can raise funds, but actually deploy it and make sure it's operational before the end of this year. That they've got all of that ticked. They've got the deduction ticked. They've got the deployment ticked off, diversification. They also, what we really liked about the investment, and we pushed it on them, we said, we don't want you charging these high fees and you don't get an outcome for investors. If you're really positive and you believe in your projects, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? And that's exactly what they did. So we agreed, you know, zero upfront, zero annual fees, only performance fees, which means if the investor does not earn, then Decentral's not earning. So those are the key aspects we've looked at, and why we've been so bullish on Decentral and partnering with them. And I think it should not saying that they're the only guys doing this. There are other good players in the space, but there's also a lot of bad players in the space that have, as I said, lack of diversification, lack of clarity on the legals, have only been around for a year or two. So I think investors must just make sure that they're ticking all these boxes before jumping in to an investment, and not just being blinded by this, you know, save on tax headline that people are seeing everywhere.
It's a lot of very good points that you made there, not least that you need to get these projects in the ground and operating before the 28th of February, the end of the tax year. Not the end of December, but in the 28th of February. Luel, I guess from your side, what is your confidence on that you'll have all of these projects operating by the 28th of February? Because if they aren't, and I'm the poor investor who happens to be in one of the projects, well, maybe it doesn't work like that. I'm sure it works in a pool concept, but if there is a project that only comes on stream on the 1st of March, in other words, the new tax year, from what we've already mentioned or discussed, it doesn't look like SARs are going to roll this over, this incentive, next year. So you don't want to lose everything out. So I guess really the ball's in your court. How confident are you guys? And what happens if you don't get projects actually coming to fruition before the end of the tax year, which is the all-important date for investors?
So the way we are looking at this is we first secure the project, which means we've signed a power purchase agreement with a customer, and then we put the project into execution. And that's where it passes over to our technical team. We're completely confident that we will have all the assets in use before the end of February. And the reason for that is if there are some which are touch and go, which they will be, guaranteed, we won't raise capital for those particular assets. We are only raising capital for the assets which we know are already in use, or which will be in use once the assets, once the end of February comes. And so essentially we do things in a different order to most. We don't first raise capital and then look for pipeline. We have the pipeline And then we only raised capital against that pipeline and only raised capital in terms of the Decentral Green Energy Fund 2, which is a 12B leveraged fund for assets which we are certain are going to reduce before the end of February. We managed to do it last year as well. We had a pipeline of around about 15 assets which were going to go in. And then of those, we made a call at a certain point in time and said, okay, let's keep the fund small. And we only raised a small amount of capital against 6 projects. And our investors all got 100% deployment and they got the full 222% deduction on the investment. So it's essentially through that order of securing projects, creating certainty on the project execution and bringing the asset into use, and then only thereafter raising capital.
Now, we are assuming that a lot of people in the BizNews community know about these, about 12B already. But maybe, Mitchell, you can give us a bit of a recap. Exactly how it works for each. Well, first of all, what kind of investors would it appeal to? And then secondly, how does the investment actually work for them?
Cool, no problem. How it typically works, I can only speak to our structure, but how it typically works, investors join an in-commandite limited partnership as a limited partner. Okay, so that's quite a popular investment structure for hedge funds, private equity, or private debt investment vehicles. Limited partner means you do have limited liability, and it's run by a general partner, which is, you can think of them as a fund manager. So the general partner in this instance would be Decentral Energy, and you get the fiscus. So the reason we do it in a partnership structure is because the fiscus falls to the LP. So you can now invest into a pool of 44 projects proportionally and get a proportional tax deduction. So if we just do accept contributions and we deploy what we accept and there's no debt, you get a 125% deduction on if it's a new asset, so if we build it from the ground up, and then you get a 100% deduction if it's on a secondary asset, so if we're purchasing existing assets. Now, we accelerate that by incorporating debt from third-party debt providers. And as I said earlier, if you put 100 Rand of equity, we take 80 Rand of debt. It's very important to make sure that that debt is non-recourse or limited recourse, so they can't actually come after you outside of the partnership if something was to go wrong. And you get the 125% deduction now on the 180 and on the debt and equity instead of just the 100. So it results in a situation where you get these extremely high deductions. We always going to make sure we're pegging it at 222%. And the reason we've chosen that figure is because if you're in the top tax bracket, you get 100% tax saving. So for an RA, for example, you get 100% deduction. If you go 100% deduction times your tax rate, which would be 45%, that means you get a 45% tax saving. So if you do normal RA, for example, you get 45 Rand back every 100 Rand you invest. Okay, that's my wealth manager coming through there. For 222% tax deduction, you go 222 times your 45% marginal tax rate, and it results in 100% tax savings. So you get this amazing situation where if you are a high income earner earning, paying 45% tax, for every 100 Rand you put in, you're getting 100 Rand out. So it's essentially you're getting a free investment and you're turning your tax liability that you owe to SARS, you're turning it into an asset on your balance sheet as part of your portfolio. So it's a very powerful tool. What we do as Pangea Wealth, we sit with the clients, examine their financial goals. We say, okay, what's your taxable income, capital gains, salary, interest? And then we backwards engineer to say, okay, what amount invested will give you the highest tax benefit? And we tailor a solution. We've got a fantastic tool that we built from the ground up that we can use to take an investor through this process. There's different consequences if you're a provisional taxpayer, if you're in a company, if you're an Inc. or PTY, if you pay as you earn, or if you've got capital gains. It's not a one size fits all, and that's our main role, is to help facilitate to make sure that if people do invest into this product, they're doing it responsibly and they're doing an amount that makes sense for their particular situation.
It's a fascinating subject. I was at dinner a few weeks ago with someone who said it can't, it's too good to be true, but actually it's not too good to be true, but it's not going to last. I think that's really what people need to understand. If you can just go back into the depths of the load shedding issues, you know now why something had to be done, and it's happened and it's worked, and you can still benefit, but only until the 28th of February. Mitchell, it's been good talking with you, and Luelle Kulwick from Decentral, who's going to be doing the implementation. I guess, really, in a project like this, if you get two operations together, a reputable wealth manager like Pangea as the financial engineers, and then on the other hand, the people who are putting in the project, well, you do have a marriage made in heaven. If you overlay that with South African Revenue Services giving you a big kickback on your taxes. I wasn't aware that you could get 100% of it. I'm sure there are a lot of members of the BizNews tribe who are listening to this and thinking, my goodness, that means of all those gazillions that I have to pay in tax this year, I won't have to pay any. Or is that right? Is there a cap? Is there a limit? You just say some guy comes into 100 million rand in some way, will he be able to invest his full tax liability?
So we have had some big clients that have sold a business for hundreds of millions, and instead of paying the CGT, they are investing it into this project. It is first come, first serve. We've got 250 mil in pipeline, and we're looking to expand it. So just like your other 12B funds that have done well and done their capital raise, we also have a limited amount and that we can take in. We're always going to keep trying to push products, but I mean, as I said, we can only claim the deduction if we have the projects, and we want to make sure we put the cart first, you know, with the projects before we start getting the horse. So I'd say max investment would be 100 mil. I mean, if anyone wants to do 100 mil, I'm sure we can make a plan, but it is first come, first serve, Alec, yeah, just like the other 12Bs.
Mitchell Fieldgate is with Pangea Wealth, Luelle Kulwick with Decentral, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.